I haven't been in 8 years, which is crazy.
Really? It's been that long?
Yeah, it's before COVID was the last time I was there.
Really? I feel like you go every like couple weeks.
That's the England. I haven't been to Ireland in a minute.
Oh.
Turns out they're not the same place. You didn't know that. But shouts to everybody, all the homies, Gary Doyle, shouts to Iman, shouts to everybody out there. It's absolutely. Shouts to Vera, the jam lady. Brought back two cases of jam.
Gary is a comedian.
Yeah, Gary Doyle.
You did a couple stand-up shows out there.
Who we met. Because he was wearing a Colorado Rapids jersey. Do you remember this?
Yeah. Where did we meet him?
I think we first talked to him online. We're like, who are you? How are you an Irish comic wearing a Colorado Rapids? It turns out he has family in Colorado. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I did a bunch of shows out there. But my flight attendant was at the show the night before, which is crazy to be recognized in that way.
You say you have a personal flight attendant.
Right. my private jet. I forgot to tell you. By the way, there's going to be a big discrepancy in the Cooligan's account. There's going to be a really big minus sign. The flight attendant that was my flight attendant on the flight was like, were you the comedian last night? I'm like, oh my God. You know, it's crazy, right? Mm-hmm. That never happens. Also, we got upgraded to first class, which is pretty cool. Delta One. Shouts to Delta One. Eh? Why spend your money?
Hey, don't be giving out free promo to Delta. Stop doing that.
Why?
Remember, you set the precedent.
Why?
Remember, because I mentioned my kid's soccer school, and don't even.
Well, this is okay. Shouts to airlines. By the way,
airplanes, really cool.
We're cool. Airbus and Boeing, whichever one wants to pay us. No, you're 100% right. Pay us. In fact, bleep out the Delta. Also, I was trying to get your kid free academy. Why are you paying?
It's ridiculous. Don't worry about that.
Don't they know who you are? Anyway, long story short, hung out. Shouts to everybody there. Got to get jam, brought back two cases of jam in our bags. Mm. Had to pay. I was about to pay 85 euros. For my bag being too heavy.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like a tariff.
No, 85. No, I didn't declare shit. I'm not paying tariffs. You brought a bag in my luggage. I didn't see shit.
I don't know how that got there.
I don't know. My wife packed it.
Meanwhile, Alexis has his hand in a jar like Winnie the Pooh.
I'm just trying to eat it all without getting in trouble. I would 100% put down two cases of jam. It was absolutely awesome, right? Got to go back, got to get the jam. I was about to pay 85, but because I have status with this unnamed airline, the lady was like, hey, we're gonna not charge you this because you have status with us, blah, 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 which was cool. But the guy didn't know how to do it, which is why he didn't charge. I put one case in Donna's bag, one in mine. Mine was also over, not as much as Donna's. Donna's was way over. Uh-huh. Mine was also over, but he was just like, whatever, I'm just gonna let it go through. And then the second one, he was like, I can't let this one go through. It's like way more. Mm-hmm. So then he went and got the lady, but she didn't know the first one got through. So she was like, we'll let one wave. I was like, what? I was like, yo, play the White Ivy Sun music in the background.
I love it's just like these employees don't communicate with each other, and it all paid out. It paid off for us.
It worked out perfectly for me. But look, when I go to Ireland, I want to go perform, I want to hang out. When I travel, I like cities, right? I just want to say, how does your city do the things I want
versus
to do.
My city, yeah.
Right. That's a different. What restaurants and bars do you have yours, and what's your culture? I'll do that. Do you hang out and drink pints? I'm gonna hang out and drink pints. Or when I go to Paris, you're more of a cafe culture. I'm gonna go to a cafe, and then after that, we go and drink some vino. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to live in your city for a week or two. When you go to Ireland, I want to go to Dublin. Maybe I'll go to Galway. Maybe we'll venture out to the cliffs or whatever, so I can get some jam. My wife's like, yo, let's hang out in the Burren. And if you don't know what the Burren is, it's this like empty space. It's like, it's not a national park. There's a small part of it's a national park, but it basically looks like a big national park.
Okay.
Bro, wild, empty. Nothing's in there. She hired a tour guide to take us, just us two, into the Burren for 3 hours. And then the guy was going to like show us places where people have gone to like make like small campsites to pray, like way back in the day.
Mm.
And also he was going to read poetry.
Pray to the Celtic gods.
Basically, monastic. And then he was like, oh, and I have poetry that I'm going to read throughout the whole thing. I just looked at Don and I go, did you Google the last thing Alexis wants to do? Bro, I didn't know what shoes to bring. I have beef and broccoli, you know those Timberlands?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, do I bring these? They're going to get dirty. I'm like, sure, I really don't have shoes that go in mud.
Are meant to do.
No, yeah. None of mine are meant to do that. Mine are all boots in name only. You know what I mean? Yeah. I have fashion is
binos,
what I know.
As they say.
Yeah. Don't vote for them either. But I was so confused as to what to bring. So I said, you know what? I have a pair of Salomons. They're supposed to be for trekking through mud and stuff.
All terrain.
Yeah, even though they're fashionable and I don't want to get them dirty, I went and I bought crepe wipes. You know what those are? Those little shoes. Okay, so I bought a pack of those. So I brought them with me. So I got crepe wipes. I was like, I'm going to just walk through this mud and it's going to be what it be. And then if I can clean these, I can clean this. If not, you know what? It's my donation to the gods. You know what I mean? Of the burn. There's a part where I guess the Ice Age brought all these massive stones, kind of like Peggy's Cove, which I've talked about before in Halifax. Mm-hmm. So they had these massive stones that just were left there, right? And you walk over them. They're all like flattened and you see like water is creating a channel and you're supposed to walk over them. And the guy goes, yo, be careful. It could be slippery. And I'm like, you don't understand. I'm like a cat. You know what I mean? And I was like, he's talking to you, D, not me. I'm hopping around these stones.
The guy whose ankle is hurt all the time.
Yeah, okay. I busted my ass on these stones. But I landed in a push-up like form. You know what I mean?
So I was worried about good save.
Right? Yeah. 100% landed smoothly. But I yelled out, you know, hijo de gran puta. You know what I mean? Yeah. I went off. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you, like, Ricky Ricardo was famous for this, but I kind of do the same thing. When you get, like, really angry, you stub your toe. Immediately, you revert to your first language. For me, it's Spanish, right?
You hit the adios mio.
Ay, que pero que coño esta mierda. And I'm like, mira, esta muchacha me quiere que yo estoy en medio de fulo del mundo. Right? I'm doing that whole thing. And, you know, the guy is a very Irish guy. He was like, I don't think... in the history of the burn, anyone has said the things that you just said in his space.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was my moment to reveal to everyone that I am, in fact, the only Latino in the burn at the moment.
You colonized that part of Ireland.
Didn't get hurt, though. I got better reflexes than I thought. You know what I mean? I thought, you boys, you get older, you slip it. Nah, man, it's still there.
Don't worry. It's coming for you, bro. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
And by the way, the ankle injury is fully healed. Thank you very much.
Okay. Don't worry, there'll be another one real soon.
Yeah, man.
Happens all the time. All right.
But yeah, one of our fans hit me up and he's like, bro, I live right by the Burren. I just posted photos from Donna's, like, you know, she posted a bunch of stories.
Yeah, yeah.
I never post when I'm somewhere. I always post after I leave just in case. You know what I mean?
Yeah, literally, nobody cares about your life.
The fans or the feds, those two.
Nobody cares.
But I always post after just because whatever. And somebody hit me up and was like, dude, I live right there.
See, that's your problem. See, if you literally turn your location on Instagram, this wouldn't have been an issue, bro.
No, I'm never doing that. Do you have that?
Please don't tell me you have that.
Never.
All right, everybody.
Our producer Ingrid today also shaked her head and said no.
We got our producer Carter's on vacation, so our graphics.
We suspended him for a week. You know, he knows what he did.
Yes, that's right. He said because he supported Tottenham, we said, hey, this is not. We can't allow this anymore.
Damn, go somewhere, go to the Burren and prepare yourself for the championship.
Go to the championship and think about what you did. Okay.
Isn't it crazy that Wrexham might be in the Premier League while Tottenham is in the championship?
And producer Ingrid is a Liverpool fan. Yeah. So it doesn't matter who we have producing the show, it's always somebody that's against one of our teams.
It got to be ops only. Ops only.
So say hi, Ingrid. Say hi into the microphone.
Hello, listeners and viewers.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So Ingrid's going to be on the ones and twos, everybody. So everybody.
She's DJing
today. welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerreros. Get Maddie out of here.
Yeah, Maddie is gone.
Why is he still here?
Maddie FC, your chair smells like pan de queijo all of a sudden. But no, shout out to Maddie FC.
Why is he
coming in?
Change your underwear, dog.
Maddie FC, shout out to Maddie for
you
coming
had
through.
Matt's, right?
Matt Doyle. Yeah, Matt Doyle was on Monday. So
Matthews only.
Matthews only. That's it's a weird rule that we have here.
Yeah, there's no reason for it.
But we are strict with it.
That's it.
So
wait till Maddie Kupo is on the show.
But we got a hot show today. Alexis is back from Ireland.
Did anyone roll their eyes while I was gone when you said we have a hot show?
You're the only one.
Because
you hate me, bro.
No, I love you. I hate that.
We're gonna talk about Serginho Dest going through it right now with another injury. We have to talk about Messi and Inter Miami going to the White House, and we got to talk to
you. Were a huge fan of that.
It's my favorite place. Uh-huh. I'm actually one of the contractors building out the East Wing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know if he told you, Jorge Mas got us a host for next time I'm gone. Matthew Trump.
Okay. There's plenty of conservative Matthews we can go to. But today, we have to start with Serginho Dest.
Everybody's talking about who replaces Serginho Dest at right wing back. Hey, why don't we just say it's Weston McKennie, huh?
Look, and we know the team is better with a 3-5-2.
Absolutely. Leaves an open spot in central midfield. So who do you think starts in that spot?
This is a complex question because
there's a lot of pieces moving.
It's strange that one player getting injured and possibly, let's say he misses the World Cup, makes it like all the pieces have to be right. Rearranged.
Pulisic is in goal somehow. It's everything because it's Weston McKennie is so versatile. He can play that.
Yes. So,
and everyone's talking about Freeman. The guy's got 41 minutes in 7 matches. Let's relax.
Yes. He got to La Liga and he obviously still settling in.
It's going to take some time. So maybe he's not ready. So let's just put Weston McKennie there.
Right.
But then that shifts pieces over, in particular central midfield, where Weston McKennie was probably going to start.
Of course, yeah. Which is where ideally you would want him. I think most people want him there.
I just want him on the pitch. He's proven it.
Exactly. Some thoughts of who could possibly be there. Obviously, Tyler Adams is going to be in the midfield.
Right. Malik Tillman is probably going to be your central attacking midfielder.
Yes.
So that leaves more of a box-to-box.
Box-to-box. So then we have options here. I don't know if it necessarily... These are my two options of who could be in that spot that I would feel pretty comfortable with. One is Aiden Morris.
I could see that.
And then the other, which I would also be pretty comfortable with, possibly even more comfortable with, is Christian Roldan. I think if he needed to be in that spot, and again, just to have another dog out there alongside Tyler Adams.
You need to tell me, because I think that's that's crazy. So I think it's crazy. Because
crazy,
which is, have we talked about this?
No.
That's how my mother says crazy.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so now I said crazy. My wife started saying crazy. So now my wife's brother started saying crazy. So now all the DPW workers in Secaucus, New Jersey, who work with my brother-in-law, now said that's crazy.
Okay, look, our culture is getting...
It permeates everything. Now all y'all can be throwing ass at a reggaeton concert.
Todo quiere ser Latino.
All right, well, welcome, bro.
Bad Bunny said it. Let's
right?
go.
Everyone is allowed except Kid Rock. So, whatchamacallit, if you're going to say the best, the one I'm most comfortable, the one I want the most, I forget the exact verbiage you use, but the one that you hope gets that spot is Christian Roldan. That leaves that there's a few players who I would place above him, even in what Christian Roldan does best. But I want you to tell me why you think he would be the perfect starter.
Look, perfect is not a word I would use here. I mean, I think would be ideal, because of the... Look, you're obviously sort of prioritizing defensive, like just winning the ball back. Let's say, like, you could put a more attacking player and push up and try to score a little more, or maintain more possession, maintain control, win balls back. I think Tyler Adams and Christian Roldan could do that pretty well. Tyler Adams, definitely, obviously, a dog out there and could win the ball back, but Christian Roldan is a more flexible midfielder in that, like, he can kind of do both, and he's a good passer and he's a pretty good threat to score. He scored the other day. I forgot again too. So even though, yeah, like USMNT stands are gonna, like, they hate almost any MLS connection to the national team. But Christian Roldan, I think, would be a good option and a good, I think, tactically, a good option for if Serginho Dest is not available, because Weston McKennie will... he's not Serginho Dest, but he can still... I mean, we see what he does. I mean, he finds... Weston McKennie, weirdly to me, has... I would describe him similarly to the way people describe, like, Cristiano Ronaldo, and not in the same, like, stratosphere, but the same, like, when we compare Cristiano Ronaldo to Lionel Messi, it's like Lionel Messi is just a freak. Gifted
at pure football,
or whatever, and Ronaldo is like an athlete, wants right. to win, has like that desire,
physically elite,
yeah,
yeah.
And Weston McKennie is kind of that, like, the Champions League goal that he scored to tie it. It's like one of those, He's in the right position. He will outwork.
Yeah.
He's strong enough to like he has insane ups for a guy who's not that tall. I think he's maybe like 5'11 or 6 feet or something like that. And so that's kind of how I see him. So I'm not worried about him in the right wing back spot because I think he would,
his versatility is a strength.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. And that's why we said, let's just say he's starting a right wing back. I'm more comfortable. You have to follow along.
Okay. Here we go. Let's go.
Everybody muggle in. Okay. Yeah. I'm way more comfortable with Weston McKennie in the attacking part of the right wing back job than I am defensive. Although I think he can get back. He tracks back like crazy. Yeah. Remember the match where they went down to 10 men? He was tracking back and forth. He was basically
every Juve game, basically.
Yeah, that's a good point. He was handling quite a bit, but his ability to track back and at least get in a position that makes it harder for the person to attack from their left side, I believe he can do. But I am more confident in saying I kind of want you to be more forward. You're going to be my overload in the midfield, right? So that leaves the right back position a little bit sus, right? There's a question mark there. I believe Tyler Adams has the ability to both be the defensive midfielder and cover the right back position. But then, I'm talking like in a counter.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
Let's say there's a counter. I trust his ability. He has played right back before to get back in that position and be more of a defensive threat than expecting Weston McKennie to sit further back and not go as further forward. Right? Where I think he's much more versatile. You just spoke about. So, okay. I think Tyler Adams can get back, which means Tyler Adams is either camping back or we're leaving him a bit further back. If we want Tyler Adams to be more of that central midfielder position, that knocks out potential, like an Aiden Morris. We don't need him because he's been more central. So if he is sitting back a little bit further and hoping to sit back, then I think Aiden Morris is a good position in the central midfield, which is what we're talking about, right? Weston McKennie offers you now all of these other positions. Yeah. What was that game we played where there was one square missing and you had to keep moving them all around until you can get the one square?
I know the game, but I don't remember the name.
That's essentially what we're doing with the midfield. Here's why I think I would be more comfortable with someone like an Aiden Morris or like a Tanner Tessman to be in that central midfield position, because I think that offers us more cover, right? I think if we're going to say the three back line is Tim Ream, yes or no, but we're going to have Chris Richards and Alex Freeman on that back line as a three-man back line. I'm comfortable saying, you know what, if McKennie is going to be more forward, maybe it's Tanner Tessman sits back further, plays that additional, that additional center back that allows Alex Freeman to sort of cover that right a bit more. Maybe that offers that. If we want Tyler Adams to be the one who sits back, I'm not comfortable with Tyler Adams as another center back, but I am comfortable with him covering the right back position. So then I could see an Aiden Morris. But I think Aiden Morris, Tanner Tessman, even if you wanted to go crazy and say Malik Tillman and Gio Reyna, I think all those offer you more, even Diego Luna in the midfield. I think all of them offer you more of a higher upside than a Christian Roldan.
I think the upside is offensive, but there would be I have the concerns defensively. So if I'm the coach, I would probably prioritize.
Then you don't think having an Tanner Tessman offers you more defensively than a Christian Roldan?
Correct. Yeah. Christian Roldan is faster than Tanner Tessman, and he is more like that. That is his more specific role. He has a much more versatile role for the Seattle Sounders, and he's like a captain of the team. I believe is he the current captain? I think he is. But there's a lot of leadership there. So that's why I would be comfortable with it. And
versus a player that's proven to be a top level defensive midfielder in Ligue 1.
Yes, I mean, top level defensive midfielder. I don't know exactly. I'm not here to like poo-poo Tanner Tessman. It's not that. It's just about him fitting in this particular lineup. Is Tanner Tessman a little bit more of a defensive risk? Because I see Tanner Tessman as a more central midfielder, possession and moving the ball forward and controlling the game and passing the ball forward, not winning balls back. At least not as good as Christian Roldan. If we compared that little, that like graph thing that shows the little circle thing that shows where I would imagine Christian Roldan.
Can we do that in post?
I would imagine Christian Roldan has more of like those defensive statistics higher than Tanner Tessman. And I would imagine the offensive statistics are lower versus Tanner Tessman. This is me speculating. I don't have it in front of me, but that's
on the eye test, that because I would kind of prioritize defense. If we're losing Serginho Dest, then we're losing some offensive strength. Then let's go with kind of what works for us, as opposed to just replacing an irreplaceable offensive talent. I don't think we don't have anybody like Serginho Dest.
You don't think Weston McKennie provides that?
No. No, not the same, not to the same degree. The Serginho Dest is incredibly pacey, a threat to score from outside the box.
The only thing
overlap runs, things like that. Like
Weston McKennie, that's the one thing you miss with putting in Weston McKennie versus Serginho Dest. I don't think there's that great a difference in speed, to be honest with you. And I think Weston McKennie maybe positionally is a little bit better than Serginho Dest. I also don't think you're missing any threat outside the box. And I think he's proven that at Juventus. I think he is a threat.
I mean, it's like, what are you not missing any threat? Like, you're clearly missing it. You're basically saying Weston McKennie can do exactly what Serginho Dest does. And he can't.
I think you have similar threats. I don't think it's the exact same thing. I don't think Weston McKennie can provide you that Bukayo Saka thing that Serginho Dest does, which is cut across the top of the box, send in a curling shot, be a threat to do that. And that comes from that playing the triangles on the flank and being able to maybe make those overlap or underlapping runs that like Yuri and Timber can do alongside Bukayo Saka. I don't think Weston McKennie has that. But to suggest that Weston McKennie patrolling the top of the box isn't going to offer you a threat on goal is completely wrong. He's proven he can do that.
I said outside the box. How many goals outside the box does Weston McKennie even have?
Outside the box, top of the box. We're basically talking about the same thing. We certainly are. It's a few feet difference, right? I think Weston McKennie has proven he's taken one-time shots from outside the box constantly. And we've talked about him making those late runs, those Lampard-esque late runs into the box to provide that. That comes from outside the box, from a late run.
I'm also saying Serginho Dest can't do that. Like Weston McKennie is better
right.
at that.
So, but what I'm saying is it balances out, right?
I don't agree, but okay.
The one thing you are missing is that sort of holding the ball in the flank and creating those overlaps and playing those triangles, which I also wouldn't suggest Weston McKennie can't do. So my whole point is, I think it's crazy that you would even compare the Tanner Tessman to Christian Roldan, even their stats, because it's different levels.
I'm not comparing them. I'm not.
But even if Christian Roldan had more defensive stats, we're talking about two very different levels. One's playing in European competition.
It's easy to say. I mean, and you can be just like the Twitter accounts that are like,
no, but I'm not saying the difference is grave.
No,
but there is a difference.
I'm not comparing they're both quality players. Yes, Tanner Tessman is in a tougher league and yes, all those things.
Plays at a higher level. But you have to admit that.
I am admitting it.
And there's no negative attempt to suggest 100%,
but that does not mean that Tanner Tessman in this particular lineup is a better fit for this particular team. You have to admit that.
Sure.
That
is not, suggesting he is, but that doesn't mean he is simply because of that. But it does mean that you have to rate the stats a little differently.
Sure. I don't think the stats are as important to make that decision, because I don't think the statistics are going to define the result in this sort of scenario. Like, how do you replace the domino effect of losing a player potentially like Serginho Dest? It's you like part of it has to go with like grit and experience and stuff like that. And, so to me, it's not far-fetched that Roldan can step in that position. But I think we have to move on.
We don't have to because I'm going to offer you another name. God. How about this? Brendan Aaronson, I think, has earned a spot. Where do you fit him in? How do you fit him in? I do not know.
You fit him in a comfortable seat on the bench and he'll come in and do his thing.
Have you been watching him recently?
I have, of course.
The kid's burning up the pitch.
He's doing well.
I think he absolutely deserves a spot in that midfield. Okay. I don't know where.
Yeah, chat, let us know who you think should be in there. But yeah. I want to just pull up because Serginho Dest, look, hopefully he does not miss the World Cup, but he did post after his injury. So it does leave a little bit of positivity. He did say, he says, quote, I'm out for a little while to do what I love the most. But one thing for sure is it's not the end of the season. I'll do everything in my power to make sure that I'm coming back ASAP on the right timing. Thanks for the messages. Won't let you guys down. So,
which is the positive here is it's not as bad as we all thought it was when we saw him go down.
Yeah. So you don't want any hamstring injury this close to the World Cup.
What, 4 to 6 weeks?
It's tough. Easy to like at least sort of 2 months, unless you're like an Arsenal player. And right. You're out for three.
And I just finally watched Friday Night Lights on the way back. Never seen the movie before.
Okay, yeah.
And don't rush back. You saw what happened to Booby. You know what I mean? There's a reference for people who watched that movie 20 years ago.
Yes. Well, they had the movie. And then the show was also very popular. There was a show as well. Okay. Oh, I'm glad we got a little.
But what I'm saying is,
you never expected a Friday Night Lights reference from Alexis.
How about that? Just don't rush back, because if there's a possibility that you could be healthy for the World Cup, Serginho Dest, whether starting or not, is an essential piece.
But clearly, Mauricio Pochettino is coming to us for all, you know, for any of the decision, any emergency decisions if you're not available.
Well, maybe he's in the comments. Maybe he's like, that investment is a much better option.
Lionel Messi and Inter Miami visited the White House to celebrate their MLS Cup victory. I can't believe Trump knows what MLS even is, but is it worth, and was it worth the backlash? Because even people in the US, people in Argentina are very, very upset with Messi for all the photos, and it's not a great look, but was it worth all the backlash?
No. What the hell is going on? I get that some athletes sort of position themselves as apolitical, right? And he plays in the United States of America. When you win a title in the United States of America, the tradition is to go to the White House.
Yeah.
Seattle Seahawks proved you don't have to follow that tradition.
Yep. Plenty of teams say no, yeah.
Yeah, you can say no. The words of Megan Rapinoe should ring off in all of our heads. Might be a little bit tougher for him. Right, yeah. He is apolitical. At least that's how he likes to position
that
himself.
That is very much so.
He's
yeah.
also a complete mystery to most, right? Only recently has he really started doing more personal interviews. I would say like in the last year or two since coming to MLS. He's been very super private. So we don't even know how he feels. He could be like a super MAGA guy and we don't know it, right? We don't know.
Sure, sure.
But two, also your team plays in Miami, owned by a Cuban-American who is the most happy that this guy is in office, and you know, can't wait for Venezuela part two. You know what I mean? Like that, I think, makes it harder, right? When your main owner, the guy building the stadium and paying you your bills, is saying like, this is important to me. I still would not have gone.
Sure.
And if that cost me my job, it's just really uncomfortable.
It's not.
There's images of kids running away from burning buildings in Iran wearing this man's jersey.
Sure, sure.
And you're shaking the hand of the guy who called that hit. You know what I mean? Like, those things are, or whatever made the call, whatever words you want to use there. It makes me uncomfortable. It made me really uncomfortable to see. It made me unhappy to see really any member of the team there. Luis Suarez, you know, I can't imagine what they're saying back at home in Uruguay, which is like super left and very progressive of a country. I'm sure there's some people who are happy about it, like
sure,
anywhere
sure,
else.
Yeah.
But for the most part, they're also not happy about it. In the end, it's just a photo like this. Yes, the owner. Yes, all those things are really uncomfortable. A photo like this is going to haunt your career.
Yeah, this is. We started. I asked the question like, was it worth the backlash? And my counter argument to yours is simply, even though I completely agree with you, is that I think in their minds, in the Moss family, in for Messi, for everybody, I think the answer is yes. It's worth the backlash because the government, especially the federal government, is effectively run like a mafia. Like, hey, you're not going to work with us, you're going to run into a lot of problems. It's going to be very difficult for you to do your business if you're not making us look good, right?
And I would also run it that way. By the way, I don't want anyone to think like I'm not.
I would not, but okay.
I'm not sitting on my sofa. I too would be like, you don't mess with me. Well, it's gonna be real hard. A lot of inspections are coming your way,
especially in Florida, we know the influence there.
There's a reason I'm not invited back to Thanksgiving with my family.
Yeah. So from a cultural standpoint, it's disappointing, right? I say this as I try not to idolize any athletes, and I don't, I don't really get into those conversations because I understand any athlete is going, could disappoint you in some way, by posting their political views.
Or not being able to handle a retort to a joke you started.
So it is something where this highlights a couple of things. It highlights that
And I saw the comments. Dane St. Clair. He was asked about this because there were a lot of weird moments during the whole press conference, right? With all the players there, Trump talking about Iran and bombing Iran and all this stuff. He talking about taking care of Cuba and he was like, all the Cubans are going to be able to go back, and weirdly being like, the Cubans are going to be able to go back, but hopefully they don't stay. We don't want them to stay. Just some, like, it's really gross. And like, yeah. And Jorge Mas has to like giggle, but I don't know exactly where he stands politically on every little issue.
You call the stadium Freedom Park, I can kind of gather.
But I also imagine he doesn't want Cuba, you know, invaded and a bunch of people slaughtered
have
either.
Have you never spoken to a Cuban American?
I imagine it. I don't know.
The slaughter part, for sure, nobody wants that.
Sure.
I would hope so.
But I'm just saying, potentially could happen.
The overwhelming majority of right-leaning Cuban Americans are hoping that what happened in Venezuela happens in Cuba.
I could understand them wanting a regime change and wanting for the people who run Cuba to be killed or whatever, like
or just be removed from office.
But innocent people will lose their lives if that happens.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It's like, I would imagine that Trump speaking so callously about Cuban people does not make a Cuban guy feel good. I don't know that, but I could be wrong. I don't know.
I do think you're wrong.
Anyway, it highlights this, like, look, we a little bit of like, look, we have to do this. Like all the players that were there with Dane St. Clair, he wasn't really like super aggro in responding to the question about it, but he was like stern. And I would imagine he probably said like, I wish I didn't have to go, or I didn't want to go, or it felt like the choice was, everybody go and let's just get over it, get it over with. So like we could just move on and not have to deal with this administration. That's the most positive spin I can put on it. But an interesting thing to highlight, David Beckham did not go. He went to a fashion show, an event that Victoria Beckham was hosting in the UK. So he found a reason to not be there.
I would text him, invite me, dog. I ain't trying to go to this shit.
But then a
player from Seattle Sounders who played on the Miami team last year went.
Also,
I can't remember his name.
I can't remember his name either, but I did see that. Yeah. But Messi's impact on, you know, with those photos, you know, shaking the president's hand and walking down like the hallway with him, all it tells me is the apolitical. You can have an apolitical stance, and this is why I'm like, this is why I'm. Don't want to idolize athletes, because an apolitical stance, I mean, like you standing for nothing is almost to me worse than standing for like something abhorrent. You know what I mean? Like, at least I know that this person has terrible views, but to just stand for nothing. This is why the comparisons to, who is this?
Marcelo Saracchi.
It's Marcelo Saracchi, football team, says from, former Boca Juniors player has posted a photo of Che Guevara on Instagram. It's better to die on your feet than to live on your knees. Argentines always say.
I know, but this guy also killed a bunch of my people. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. And I get that this is like a very sensitive subject, but being from the family that I am and just understanding like those people are also not without fault. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, like, without a doubt.
You know, and look, we have the Maradona clip. Maradona very famously responded.
To an invitation to the White House as well.
He was going to be given an award in America or given an award in Cuba, and he chose to go to Cuba instead of America. And he had a very famous way of explaining it.
Los americanos me daban un premio. Y me daban un premio en Cuba. Dije, americano, quédense con el premio. Yo voy a recibirlo a Cuba.
Okay. And thank God we cut it there, because the clip you see after that is essentially the reverse of Messi with Trump, which is him with Fidel. And, you know, that's a guy who tried to kill my mom. And so did, Che Guevara. So it's like, those are very difficult. Maybe Che wasn't truly involved in that part because he was already passed at that point. But for me, those are also difficult images to see. And I would never be associated with the administration that's on there today. I'm nowhere near right-leaning, and that's caused some issues with my family, who for a lot of majority of them are very right-leaning because of what happened in Cuba. So I get both sides of it. So I kind of tend to disagree with you in the sense that like being apolitical is somehow worse. I think where it becomes worse is when you are an icon of a sport, when you are a large living legend, Maradona wouldn't feel less important to me if he didn't have a Che Guevara tattoo and if he didn't say those things, if we didn't know where he sat, because I kind of know the guy liked to party. Ronaldinho, we don't know how he feels. I don't remember if he was like a Bolsonaro guy, right? Like some of those players, they don't lose their icon status. But when you are Messi, Ronaldo, people that...
I mean, they're global brands. I mean, yeah, these are global. They're recognizable, more recognizable people on the face of the earth.
Right. So when you say nothing, and this, I think, happens to Pulisic in this country as well. When you say nothing, we start to draw clues from every little thing you've ever done. And then narratives get written about you. So because Messi's never said anything, and all of a sudden... We ain't got a picture of you high-fiving Obama. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
We ain't got that. We got this. So now all of a sudden, oh, Messi's this, Messi's that. And now we have nothing to suggest he's not.
Yeah.
And that's where I think you get into trouble when you're the level of Messi. There's some asterisks being Jorge Mas, working with him, being part owner of the team as well. There's some things you can't say. I would have zero problem, and you've seen it play out. There's a reason I'm not on TV anymore, because I have zero problem saying, nope, my integrity is more important than this moment, and I'm not going to let anything wash over and happen. Well,
that's the thing. It's like nobody there. Look, I understand the risks of not going, right? Because, of course, it might be professional and business issues that happen to Inter Miami if they do not go, because it embarrasses the president, and we know that he hates that, and you know that there will be retaliation. There's retaliation for that. But nobody needed nobody needs the president or the White House's clout. Nobody there needs to be
also,
like...
Also, you don't have to walk next to him. He doesn't know who you are. Right. You literally could have presented him with a fake... We could have had a Messi impersonator. No one in the White House would have known.
Sure.
Also, you're a soccer player. Grab your knee and roll. As soon as the camera comes out, grab your knee and roll. Get down on the floor. Roll around a little bit.
So nobody needs that clout. So I understand the complicated maybe decision of like... if I don't go, that might lead to some other issues. But, you know, it's disappointing. And I understand individual players had to, it's everybody's individual choice. Like some people were more vocal about it than others have been posting about it. We love Fafa. I love Fafa. And he won, obviously, MLS mm-hmm. Cup there. And it's impossible for me to like, not cast any kind of, not have any opinion or not cast some sort of judgment of like posting pictures with the president. It's like you represent the Haitian national team. Haiti is banned. Even in the CONCACAF Champions Cup right now, the players that play on the Haitian team can't travel to play mm-hmm. against, I think they play the Galaxy or something like that. They can't travel into the country because Haiti is on a banned, has a travel ban. And it's like, You can't flex that. That isn't, I mean, how are people, some people.
I mean, you can. It's just wildly insensitive.
It's insensitive and it's not worth the clout. I understand, like, Messi, who cares? Like, he's going to be fine.
Yeah.
But it's like, from you know, these global iconic figures, they're sort of insulated from a lot of that, like, judgment and criticism. But the rest of the players there, the majority of the players have to deal with, like, they, you know, their kids being like, hey, daddy, why'd you do that? Or I heard he was bad and all this other stuff. Like, it's disappointing. That's all.
The Fafa thing is a little disappointing because, like, as an example, when that bird at Eintracht Frankfurt.
Yeah. Looked at me.
What's the first thing I did? I had your back. You know what I mean? 100%. I was ready to beat up a predator, okay? Just, or at least attempt to save my boy's life.
And that bird was not in the Epstein files.
No, not at all, that we know of. There's a lot of redactions. I'm kidding, because I've already had to apologize to Attila once before. But my point is, you do certain that you always defend your boy. I think the exact perfect example of like, all right, you can't avoid the being there. There are things you can do. And I point to it, and it's not just because I've recently went there. Do you know the actor Cillian Murphy from Peaky Blinders?
Yeah, Cillian Murphy.
Cillian Murphy, yeah. My bad. He's very, very Irish.
100%.
As Irish as it gets.
The Wind That Shakes the Barley.
Yeah.
Great movie. Go check it out.
Cillian Murphy. What happens when the royal family was walking down at a movie premiere? He stuck his hands in his pockets. He wouldn't even shake the prince's hand. He put his hands in his pockets, which is like, all right, I can't avoid this moment, but I know what you're not going to get is a picture of me. And by the way, I don't know if you know this, the stuff with Ireland and England, many years ago, not currently happening.
Sure.
This stuff is currently happening, and he's sitting there shaking the president's hand. Yo, Messi, keep your hands in your pockets, bro.
Yeah.
There's ways, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, don't post a picture of yourself all thumbs up. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's ways around it. Be more like Killian Murphy, dog.
Which
my wife would love if I did.
I could, yeah. Like I said, I mean, I understand the complaint. We didn't necessarily translate for the audio listeners what Maradona was saying before I realized that. But he basically said he was going to get an award in...
I kind of said it.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
Yeah, I set that up.
For the audio listeners, he did do the... What do you even call it?
You slap your hand in the inside of your elbow and you... It's basically the up your behind kind of.
So he did that and all that stuff. So
it's the stuff like an Italian uncle would do at the deli.
You know, some people you can be as principled as Maradona if that is your choice. But
that's a sentence that's been said before.
But look, it earned Maradona a lot of respect in Italy.
In Argentina, in particular, they view him as a guy.
They see him as like a guy who is one of us, took care of the poor.
Yeah, the everyman.
Yeah, yeah. And Messi is not that. Not that he sort of needs to be. And there's always the immediate comparison between the two. But Maradona was also kind of critical of Messi. He didn't necessarily like him. He loved him as a player and supported him on the national team.
I think that if you look back then, that's viewed more of him being a bit of a hater.
Maybe. I don't know.
I think that was the general consensus.
Maybe this is a factor as well of just like that he didn't really stand for anything outside of simply just being a good footballer and he did inspire the country. They did want him to win. But even remember when we watched the documentary with Elie Menjem about Argentina and stuff like that. Yeah. And there was some guy, not really, this was before the 22 World Cup. And not really speaking that highly of Messi, but he did speak very, very highly of Maradona. Like, as far as the expectations about winning a World Cup and stuff like that.
That's a deeper conversation, but it's Maradona's one of us. Messi went to Europe when he was a kid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's one of them.
So,
and this drives a further wedge in that conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
So all of the positivity around Lionel Messi after the 2022 World Cup, then you have this. This seems to like slide some of that back. You know what I mean? The sentiment in Argentina right now, a lot of people are angry. There's a lot of the clips we've seen. It seems that they're back to like, no, Maradona was one of us.
I don't imagine Messi doing anything to repair that or fix that. I don't know if he cares, or I don't even know if it's worth the time to try to repair that, because even if he does all of a sudden start and taking a stance, it's going to create this backlash in its own right of people who don't agree with him that he has to like deal with and stuff like that. So yeah, this is, I think my main conclusion to this is like, this is why we're going to get a guy who's great at a magnificent footballer, greatest we've ever seen, and we'll just never talk about anything else around it. And if that's a frustrating thing to people, then that's what you're going to have to like deal with. And we all have to kind of come to terms with watching a great player, and we will never probably know where he stands on a lot of these political issues.
It sucks, but at least it's preparing us for the future when all soccer players are AI. And none of this is real.
Sure. And we know who they're going to support. Sam Altman. That's it.
our supreme leader. I know you don't agree with me, but I think the first 10 matches of an MLS season don't really matter. It's basically a preseason. Too many teams get in the playoffs, but there is a caveat to that. You have to play a little bit good. You know what I mean? You can't just be terrible. And right now, there's the bottom five teams. There's 1 point shared amongst all of them. This is not a good start. And maybe someone is going to get the sack. Do you think anyone should? And if so, who?
I'm surprised to see these particular five teams, but my first thought of who could possibly get sacked first, that I don't want it to be the case.
Let's name the teams while we're at it.
Yeah.
So I know we have the bottom five, and we're looking at the full table. So the supporter shield.
The supporter shield table.
So this is the bottom of the MLS Supporter Shield table. The absolute worst team in MLS right now is Orlando City with 0 points. Above them, Atlanta United with 0 points. Above them, New England Revolution with 0 points. Above them, Philadelphia Union with 0 points. And above them, asking themselves, why you say F me for? Sporting Kansas City with 1 point.
Yeah.
These teams are... For the most part, they were not that long ago before these were all perennial finals teams. Well, maybe Orlando City would at least get in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Right now, this is a terrible start.
Just an honorable mention to another 1-pointer with St. Louis that didn't make the top, bottom five.
Hey. You're in the bottom. If we say bottom six.
Your goal differential is just keeping you out of there.
You good right now. And I feel bad for New England Revolution, who are the only one to have played only two games in this. But. You're on the list, buddy.
Yeah.
Out of these bottom five,
the one I think is the most potentially get this fired first, not the sack. We're in America here.
You can call it whatever you want.
I'm a little worried about it, but I think it's Oscar Pareja. Orlando City. The expectations are way too high. They have a decent team. I mean, they lost in the wild card last season. Which was disappointing that they were there to begin with. But they have a solid squad. They were obviously trying to get Antoine Griezmann. That doesn't look like it's going to be happening. But the 5-0 drubbing to NYCFC, which I was there for the game.
Unfortunately, I wasn't in town, but I was following along on my phone. Happy as hell.
Maxime Crapeau was like, yo, let me pick up this ground ball in right field. Uh-huh. And the ref was like, all right, you out of here, buddy. Get him the red card. I can't even understand why he grabbed the ball. Literally the only thing I was even telling other people at the game, I was like, maybe because of Yankee Stadium and because the field is not a straight, like, it's a baseball field, so it's like more circular.
Yeah,
he was like disoriented.
Your vision is off a little bit, but that's an advantage. That's a home field advantage.
I mean, our goalkeeper knows where the lines are.
Put it in the new stadium, you know?
Okay. Just make the whole state. Goalkeepers, all they see is are those like those mystery 3D images where they have to find the image. Yeah, you know.
I hate those things.
Make it as confusing as possible. That's the only thing I can think of why Crapeau grabbed the ball outside of the box. It's an immediate red card. It is dog show. He was complaining like, no, I didn't grab it. It's like, brother, we saw it. You're outside.
I don't even know there's a couple 4K cameras on everybody.
But Oscar Pareja having a 5-0 loss is bad. You're up 2-0 the previous week to Inter Miami, and you end up losing 4-2. Like he's in a bad spot, and he needs it. Orlando needs a win desperately for him to keep his job. So my guess is that he might be the first.
I would sit here and I would say I could see Oscar Pereja getting fired. I don't want it to, and it feels too early to make that decision. There's a realistic, and I know it's a rivalry. You have to be realistic. Being up 2-0 against Inter Miami and then losing that game, well, not a huge shock.
Yeah. I mean,
right? And you could say, you go to New York, they're playing on a baseball field. It's weird. Like, there's
Orlando, they did the social media team.
This is what happens, bro. You can't make fun of it for being a baseball team. You, and guess what happens?
I don't know why teams keep doing this, but when you post about how, and this was, look, credit.
They're trying to get the jokes out now because you only got one more year.
They were clever in that they painted a baseball.
To look like that.
To look like an MLS, the new MLS ball, the new 2026 ball. Yeah. But they painted it. So kind of clever. But NYCFC had responded to it, basically saying they never learned.
Yeah.
And Orlando also, after the game and the 5-0 result, they posted the result graphic. But they like markered out, they scrubbed out the result, which is like, now you're joking about losing poorly. Like, just take the L.
Take the L.
Tell your fans, we weren't good enough.
Yeah.
You can't be joking around about losing.
Right. Key and Parks did look good, though. Didn't he not?
I mean, when Griffin Dorsey passed him the ball, he's like, yo, we need another one.
Keaton, yo, thank you so much. Let's up the stats.
I saw Keaton after the game, and I said, I congratulated him. But I'm happy for him, especially after all the surgeries and the his health and stuff like that, because he was dealing with the blood clot in his legs, in one leg.
I didn't know he was Jamaican.
He's on the national team. You don't remember? What's that one white dude doing on that? But so I congratulate him. It was a great to see. But no, it was a dominant performance from NYCFC. But man, it's putting Orlando and Oscar Pereja in a really, really bad spot. I mean, another team also winless is the one Atlanta United.
I get to pick who's?
Oh, sorry. I didn't know. Okay.
I was like, all right. What was it? What was it that you said?
I just said that puts Oscar Pereja in a bad spot. So you can cut to Alexis, and then he'll just start there.
All right. If I'm going to have to pick one as well, it's tough to say because I do believe the first 10 matches are essentially an amuse-bouche. Let me explain. It's not a terrible take because not only do most people agree with me, we had a GM in here who kind of agrees with me. But the truth
did not agree with you.
He did. Okay. The first 10 matches, I think, are a place where you don't win a title, but you can lose your job in the first 10 games because you could look terrible. And what the fear that I have is sometimes you bring in a manager that doesn't have a ton of experience and they start badly, and maybe you don't see signs of it going well. And I think we're dealing with that, unfortunately, in Marko Mitrovic, and that's New England Revolution. I know they're the one team that have only played 2 matches, but if you look at their XG form, which I know not everyone loves XG, but it's a good idea to sort of give you a general view of maybe we're attacking in the right places, but we haven't had those moments, or maybe like we're getting to the final third, but things aren't going well. They're in 28th place in the XG table.
Yeah.
They're not doing well. And they're not showing they're doing terribly in XGA as well. They're doing terrible in expected points. They are proving across the board that they're just not cohesive at all. And I can understand the ball not going in. I can understand, yo, maybe the striker's out or whatever and things happening that your XG is high and whatnot, or maybe your XG is in. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing. Nothing across the board looks good. And we're talking about someone who came from the U.S. soccer, who's coaching more youth teams.
U-20, I think. U-20, some of that. I think it was the U-20s.
BJ Callahan at least had that one moment, right, where he was in charge for a Nations League. They win. The team looked better than they looked under Greg Berhalter, at least more fluid than they looked under Berhalter. So you had this idea like, oh, this guy might have the goods. And we see that this year in Nashville, things seem to be coming together a little bit more than they have in the past under BJ Callahan. So even that was a bit of a risk. Marko Mitrovic to come in for New England Revolution to me was a massive risk because are you sure this is the guy? And now the early signs are he might not be. Now, that's not to say that doesn't change. But if there was someone who's going to get fired first, I can't imagine he is.
I would say
but no. There's a lot more question marks around his hire.
I would say he's not going to get fired first, mainly because, like, I think the Kraft family are like, this is like, it's like a hobby of a, like, they're like, hey, figure it out. And we'll get, I think they have a pretty long leash.
I get that, but there's
the
also.
The Revs, like, they gave, Caleb Porter was not very good for 2 solid seasons.
Okay, but he had won everywhere else he'd gone.
Yes, I understand.
There's more belief that, all right, maybe he just turns it around.
I'd be surprised if.
Same. Oh, yeah. I don't think he's going to get fired.
It's Robert Kraft's son that runs the team. I forgot his first name. But I don't imagine he's going to be that harsh. And I think they're going to give him, this isn't Celtic, right? They're going to give, I think they give him quite a long time.
Which, by the way, Wolf Renanzi is available for any of these 5 teams, including you, St. Louis.
So we'll figure it out. I think the other slight concern I have is the Philadelphia Union, also winless. Also
had a good season last year, though. They won Supporters Shield. I can't imagine.
I mean, couldn't have gotten any better. They were the best team in Major League Soccer. I think
which is why, to lean back on my point about the start not being, maybe it's not the first 10, but you can forgive a slow start for the team that won the Supporters Shield.
Of course, yeah.
And the coach that won the Supporters Shield last year.
But it is, I do think we're on the precipice of, Bradley Carnell, first season of St. Louis, top of the Western Conference. They lose first round of the playoffs. Philadelphia Union win Supporter Shield. Now it's looking like having that second really, really bad season. So
I mean, this is the problem I have with this style of play. As much as I love to see high intensity pressing and, you know, to everyone attack right away, there tends to be a second year slump for that type of manager because there's no plan B. Once people are like, all right, we could figure this out.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, look at someone like a Mikel Arteta who's had to change sort of the tactics every year. That's because people spend a lot of time in that offseason trying to be like, oh, we should have done this or we could do that. And then you show up with new tactics. They're like, damn.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I wasn't prepared for that.
Exactly.
People can prepare for you. And now you're seeing that. That was a big rub against Hansi Flick for a while as well. He seems to have adjusted his tactics.
Yeah, I think the expectation or the hope, Philadelphia Union let go of a lot of players. Mm-hmm. They traded some away. I think the expectation of a lot of the younger players to step up is going to be like a huge necessity because I don't think Philadelphia Union are going to be like spending a whole bunch of money to bring in some like big
name.
They never
do.
They never do. So because they lost I believe the leading goal scorer might have been Baribo last season, and you know, and he's gone. It's like replacing that is not going to be easy. But
even
they,
players like Lesnes in the past would just be Lesnes defensive
as well.
Style,
yeah, yeah. So the team. Is like a lot of the foundation, especially with Glessens, a lot of the foundation of the team.
And the leadership, even though Ale Bedoya is still there, right?
He is still there, yeah. I think it's going to be tough. I fear another, at least for Union fans and our Union friends, that this is going to be a pretty rough season. If it went the way St. Louis' second season went as well. Bradley Carnell has a lot to figure out. Because I think when he first got there, he got there to like, something that was kind of established. Now, a lot of those pieces that that Jim Curtin brought in are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, how do we kind of like adjust and imprint his identity on
this
the team?
This feels a little Arne Slot. You know what I mean?
Okay,
Bradley
Carnell
came in. He had the team. All he had to do was inspire someone else's team to do better.
Yeah.
Now, these are all your choices now. Okay. Yeah.
So he has to figure that out. All right, we'll see. I think, obviously, Quinn Sullivan is not back yet from he tore his ACL last year. And I think that's going to be an important piece moving forward.
He's a great player. But why don't we talk about, of these five teams, and if we could pull them back up, that'd be great. Of these five teams, who do you have the most trust that by the end of the season will be the best out of these five?
The most,
probably the longest way I could have asked that question.
Yeah, the most trust.
That's the most words.
Interesting.
Pardon me, we haven't talked about Tata Martino being back.
Yeah, I don't necessarily trust that either. Because same thing, he's dealing with somebody else's team.
Yeah.
He doesn't really have his guys in there yet.
But he has the most experience.
He does.
And at the highest levels, right? National team coach as well.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me believes this guy can find a way to inspire this team.
Mm.
I don't know a lot about Vicky. Right?
I remember him in Chicago, and that didn't go well.
I don't know enough about him and his ability to turn things around.
Mm-hmm.
Bradley Carnell, yeah, you did it year one. There's a lot of questions as to whether you could do it year two.
You know what I'm going to say?
Orlando or Atlanta feel like the safe picks here.
You know what I'm going to say? And maybe this might be a shock to some
people. We
should
each pick a team and place a bet on this for the end of the season.
Yes, gamble. We need to gamble.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be money.
Sure.
Put up the mortgage of your house, bro.
Assets only.
Yeah. We don't have that. 2013 Ford.
I'm going to say Sporting Kansas City. And you know why? Because of David Lee. Because of the sporting director from NYCFC that went over and took that job. I think he has a good idea of how to build a team. And I think he can help turn that team around. That we've seen it already with NYCFC. So I have a little bit of faith that it won't be that horrendous of a season for Sporting Kansas City. So I'm gonna say SKC.
Okay, I think you are. Did you drop an edible before the show or something? I think you're wrong. I do think David Lee will be able to turn it around, but we're talking about 2 to 3 years from now.
Okay,
I think there's a complete.
Sure, hey,
there's a complete rehaul of this team that has to be done. And I know he has a lot of the confidence of the ownership group, so I believe he will do it. Not this year. I'm going to say it's Orlando. I think Orlando finishes higher than the other four teams on this list.
Interesting.
And if you're going to say Sporting Kansas City, we have to figure out what that bet is. So why don't you let us know? Let us know in the comments. If you are listening to this, let us know.
Which one of your trash teams do you think are going to finish higher?
Yeah. Oh, no. Let us know what the bet should be.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay. All right, we'll see we love your input. All right, let's wrap up there, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in to another episode of The Cooligans. We are always very grateful out here on crushing it per usual. Make sure you hit like if you're watching this on YouTube or at whatever podcast platform. Make sure you subscribe as well, either on YouTube or Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever whatever you listen or watch this show under. We appreciate it. Okay?
Hit every button you can, except for like complaining. You know what I
mean? No, if there's a complaint button, throw that out. You don't need that
go
button.
Go to our ops and hit that button there.
All right. We'll be back on Thursday with a very, very incredible episode. Some great guests. Who knows? There's a lot going on. It's going to be, you know, I'm being purposely vague. But usually when I'm vague, it's usually because I'm excited about something. We're excited about who we're about to have on. So be on the lookout for Thursday's episode. Anything else?
I mean, if you got this far, you're going to listen to Thursday's episode. No, that's it. Thank you for everyone. Thank you for all my co-hosts who stepped in while I was away. But your boy back now, and we got rid of the stank y'all left in the studio.
That's right. They're not just podcast co-hosts. They're podcast co-hosts that stepped up.
Let's go. We all put our hand on their backs. Thank you, everybody.
Take care, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.